So we've been talking about the aftermath of Cholom's revolution, civil war. David has won, but in the course of the reconciliation, the split between the northern tribes led by Binyamin and Yosef and the southern tribe of Yehuda becomes much worse, and they start arguing with each other, fighting with each other. And David responds to that really by not caring. We saw that when his response to Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, and he says, "You intended to split the estate. I don't want to hear from you at all, ever again." And I'm going to scroll up here. And the Gemara says about that, Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Rav, this is source two, if David hadn't accepted the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, about Shaul's grandson, and part of that whole thing when they get into this fight about who David really belongs to, who's really the real Israelites, and David just doesn't deal with that. If that hadn't happened, Lo Nechlekal Malchut Beit David, the kingdom would never have been split. Lo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, and the people would never have served Avodah Zarah. Lo Galinu Miyatzeinu, and we'd never been exiled. All this starts here.
Wow.
Okay, this parak here, which is the end of the narrative of Sefer Shmuel, is the beginning of Sefer Malachim. That's the introduction to that. Okay, we're leading into that, and what happens beginning of the Perek Chaf, which is where we were, Pasuk Aleph, V'shem Nikra Ish Belial, and there was a wanton, worthless person, Ushmo Sheva ben Bichri, Ish Yimini, name is Sheva ben Bichri, remember that name, he's from Binyamin, V'tkab B'shofar, he blows the shofar, it's a declaration of war, V'yomer Ein Lanu Chelek B'David, we no longer have any part of David, V'nachla Lo Alav B'vein Yishai, no part of the son of Yishai, Ish Lo Alav Yisrael, everyone to their tents. He's going to start another civil war. And he will fail. Okay, he's going to end up beheaded by the end of the Parsha, but the civil war won't. Because that motto of Ein lanu chelek b'David, lo nachla lanu ben Yishai, will continue to echo through Jewish history for the next 40 years. And we're going to move down over here. And at the end of, well, they'll make it through the end of David's reign, which is another 2 or 3 years. They'll keep going through all of Shlomo's time and the beginning of Rehavam, when Rehavam increases the taxes, makes everyone work, then this will come to a head. And this is in Malachim Perek Bet. Lo Shama HaMelech Rehavam, this is the Rehavam, Shlomo's son, David's grandson. They didn't listen to people. He tests Sibam im Hashem, because Hashem had caused this to happen, that Achia Shiloni was the Navi who had come to Yerovam ben Nevat and told him that I rejected Shlomo because of his idol worship, all of his wives, and you will be king over Israel, at least of 10 of the tribes. So this is where that actually happens. The Nevuah comes true. And the people saw that the king didn't listen to them. And the people responded to the king and said, same words, 43 years later. So when David will defeat this civil war, he's only going to suppress it. That feelings remain there. Now go look to your own house, David, and Israel left. So we have to look at these pieces here and what's going on with Sheva ben Bichri and what's going on with Yerubim ben Nevat. And then the other question is, what the Gemara says is that somehow that split in the kingdom led to Avodah Zarah, which led to the Galut. Question is, how did that happen? What's the connection between the split in the kingdom and Avodah Zarah? Okay, and again, I will mention the Secret Book of Kings again to get a sense of what's going on in the minds of the people throughout all of the rest of David's reign, throughout Shlomo's reign, about this feeling of being oppressed, that the central government in Yehuda is just imposing their will on them. Now let's go to source 26. So what does Yerubbaal do? Yerubbaal is now split his kingdom off. He established the kingdom in the north. Rehoboam goes to war and loses. So now we actually have two nations here. We have Israel in the north and Yehuda in the south. And this is again Malachim. Yomer Yerubbaal b'libo, and Yerubbaal says to himself, "Atah teshuva hamamalchah beit David. If I'm not careful, then the kingship will return to David. I'm going to lose. Im yaleh ha'amazeh lasot zvachim beit Hashem b'Yerushalayim. If everyone's going to go to Yerushalayim, which is part of Yehuda, v'shav leif ha'amazeh adonehem el Rehoboam melech Yehuda, and everyone's going to go to Yerushalayim, they can go to the Beit HaMikdash to say, wow, this is wonderful. We love the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to return to Rehoboam. He's worried about this. Vargini, look at me, v'shav el Rehoboam melech Yehuda, and everyone will return their loyalty to Rehoboam. V'yotz ha'melech, so the king got advice. V'yashne egle zahav, and he makes two golden calves. And Phyllis's eyebrows raise up because, okay, if you learn one thing from Jewish history, it's don't make a golden calf, right? What are you thinking? Well, Yomar Aleihem, and he tells the people, Rav Lachem Elot Yerushalayim, you don't have to go to Yerushalayim anymore. Hine Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God, Israel, Shehalucham Eretz Yisrael, who took you out of Egypt. Yesem Mechab Beit El, and he puts one of them in Beit El. We talk about why Beit El being where the Mishkan was, where Yaakov had established his Beit Elohim. Beit El had history for why it was a good place to build a central temple. So he puts one of these golden calves in Beit El. Verechad Natan Bedan, we talked about that. That was from, if you remember, Pesel Micha, which we should go over again. Micha had established this, an idol, that ends up with a temple that's in Dan in the north. And this was a sin. In case you weren't sure if this was the right thing to do, this was the text is telling you no. And they went after the one. They went to one all the way up in Dan. They abandoned the Beit Midas. They went to these golden calves. Yes, at Beit Bamot, and he makes lots of other Bamot, other altars. Yes, Kohanim Mikzota Am, and he appoints Kohanim, priests from various leaders of the people, Ashelohayim ibn Levi, that weren't from Levi, makes his own Kohanim. He asks Rabbah Machag, Bachosh Mishminin, he makes his own holiday in Cheshvan in the 8th month, Bachamisha Asayom Lachodesh on the 15th, Kachag Asher B'Yuda, to correspond to Sukkot that's in the 15th of Tishrei. He makes his own holiday, Vayalam Mizbech, and he offers things on the altar in front of his golden calves.
Wait, but it's not in Tishrei, his Chag.
His Chag is in Cheshvan, the eighth month, yeah, Cheshvan.
So no Mar Cheshvan for him.
That's right. Well, I figure that's his thinking, right? It's like, well, we got this whole month without any holidays. I know, people will be overjoyed to put a new holiday in, right? He offers sacrifices in Beit El to these calves. He establishes his own Kohanim. Okay, so here's the actual connection. Okay, Nechlecha b'malchu beit David leaves to Avodah Zarah. But it begs the question, why do you build the Egel Zahav in the first place? What is the connection there, right? They are a bad thing.
Danny, could you just backtrack for a second? Who is Yerubbaal ben Nevat? I mean, who is he?
So
is he a prince or something? Or
okay, so we can go back here. The story of Yerubbaal is here in source 25. So Vayile Ziknat Shlomo Nashav Hetu Et Libavo Achrei Elohim Acherim. Okay, so Shlomo is basically being pulled by all these wives, other gods. Yerubbaal Hashem Shlomo Yana Sheraita. Zot imcha, since you're doing this, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. And then, Yerubbaal ben Nevat Ephrati, Menetzereda, and here's Yerubbaal, okay? This is in time of Shlomo. This is well before the rebellion. And he rebels against Shlomo, before Rehoboam. Pasir. Shlomo banat hamilo, Sagat Peretzair, Shlomo was building the city of Yerushalayim. Vish Yeravam Gibor Chayel, and Yeravam was an important person. Bayar Shlomo Tanar, and Shlomo saw him as a young man. Again, this is well before the rebellion. Yasam Lacha, because he was good at the work. Vayif Koroto Lachol Sebel Beit Yosef. And he was in charge of all the workers from Yosef under Shlomo. And then we have the story that he, Yeravam Yatzim Mishlaim, and Yeravam is going out. He meets Achia Shiloni, who splits his cloak into 12 pieces, gives 10 of them to Yeravam, and says, Yeravam, you're going to be the king. And then, at that point, Vayivakesh Shlomo lahamid et Yeravam, and Yeravam sought to kill, Shlomo sought to kill Yeravam after Yeravam gets this nevuah that he's going to be king. This, you know,
Danny, this is a repeat of the story of David, really.
Exactly the same thing. Yes, and Shlomo responds exactly the same way Shaul did.
Vayakam,
what?
Very good.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, it's fascinating to, we're not learning Malachim here directly, but that's a background for Yerubam. Vayakam Yerubam vayirach Mitzrayim. And so Yerubam runs away and lives in Mitzrayim. El Shekach Melach Mitzrayim. Just like David ends up with the Plishim, Yerubam ends up with the Egyptians. Vim Mitzrayim ad mot Shlomo. He stays there until Shlomo dies. Then he comes back and then he leads the rebellion against Rechavim. Okay, that answers your question, Phyllis, of the
relevant background. Yes, thank you.
So that's Yerubam. And we're going to move forward here. So we have to figure out the golden calf thing. So we're going to start with going back to the original golden calf. Parsha Ki Tisa, verse 37. When the people see that Moshe is late, coming down. And the people will gather around Aaron and say, we need a God. That will go before us. This man, Moshe, who brought us out of Egypt, we have no idea what happened to him. And Aaron says, go give me all your jewelry, your wives and your children's jewelry. Maybe a line bring to me. The Braku called Amid Ismail Zahava Sherba Oznehem. And the people took all their jewelry that they were in their ears. They brought it to him. They kach mi adam. He takes it to them. But Yatzer Oto Bacheret. And he, I want to try Yatzer. They gather together or he forms it in a mold. But Yaseo Ego Masecha makes a molten calf. And they said, Aaron doesn't say this, this is some group of the people, say, these are your gods, O Israel, who took you out of Egypt. Again, this is the same line that Yerubim uses when he builds his golden calves.
Wow.
And Aaron sees what's going on, builds an altar in front of this calf. And Aaron says, look, we're going to have a party for God, not for the calf, tomorrow, trying to delay things. And everyone gets up early, Bayilu Olot, and they offer sacrifices. They bring right, they bring sacrifices shlamim so they can eat. And they get up, and everyone sits down to party, and they get up and have a good time. That's the golden calf originally. And the way let's move forward here. And the way that the Gemara puts these kinds of things together is to say that Yerubam ben Nevat had two fathers. One father was Sheva ben Bichri from our story, the rebellion. Now, I will add that Brandis in the Secret Book of Kings takes that literally as being the grandfather. They're from different tribes. I don't think that's not literal. Okay, this is taken seriously, but literally. Like the origin of the rebellion of Yerubam's rebellion was back from Sheva ben Bichri from our story. Again, we saw that they're the same. The other father of Yerubam and Nevat was Micha. Micha from the story from Pesel, Micha from Shoftim, which we'll have to look at. And this is the way the Gemara puts it.
So that's an earlier story, right, Danny?
Much earlier, right. So Micha's story is right from the beginning of the story of Shoftim. So after Yeshua, they come to the land, Yeshua dies, and then we'll look at this story of Micha again. We're looking at this Gemara here in Sanhedrin. Tana, who Navat? This person named Navat, Yeravam ben Navat, who Micha, is the same person as Micha, who Sheva ben Bichri, same person. Again, they're living hundreds of years apart, so I would not take that as I take it seriously, but not literally. Right? This is the literary father of Yeravam's rebellion that ends up with him splitting the kingdom and forming these golden calves. And Navat, Shenivet, Lara, that we'll see that Navat, they said that because Navat, because he saw himself as becoming king, and it wasn't him, it was his son. Micha shenit machech bebinyan. And Micha, because he was crushed in the building. Whatever that means. And Mashmo, Sheva ben Bichri, Shmo, he really was Sheva ben Bichri. So what is Micha, the spiritual father of Yerba ben Devat, was nit machmech bebinyan. What does that mean? And this is the Midrash Tanchuma. We're going to try to put all these little pieces together here. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Shehivya Nizamim. Back in the golden calf under Aaron, back in Shemot, when they brought the jewelry, Tala Aaron Enavla Shamayim, Aaron looked to the heavens and said, Elechen Asati Adenei Yoshiv Yerushalayim. I look to you, O God. Hayodea Kol Machshavot. You know what I'm thinking. Shebal Korchi Ani Yoseh. I'm doing this against my will. That's his prayer. Hishlich La'ish. And he casts all of the gold into the fire. Ubarach Hartumim. And the magicians came. Vasu B'chartumehem. And they made the calf with their magic. Right? The Midrash is saying, not Aaron's fault.
Yeah, where did the Hartumim come from?
That's a good question. So the Gemara, and to the answer, you know who the Hartumim were? Yeshom Rim.
No.
Micha. This was Micha. Shayamit Machek Ebinyan. Who was crushed in the building. And that's that phrase again. Right? Umasha Hitzil Moshe Melevenim, what Moshe had saved from the bricks. I have to figure out what that means. That's our Micha here. So what did this Micha do with his magic? Natal Luach Shekatav Alav Moshe Alei Shur. So he takes the tablet that Moshe had written Alei Shur. What does Alei Shur mean? Shehela Aronosh Yosef. Moshe needs to bring the bones of Yosef out of Egypt with him. So he had, you know, we're going to see this as some kind of petek that said, Alei Shur, arise, O ox. The symbol of Yosef is the ox. And that's when he could find the bone, the coffin of Yosef. That's where he found it. And then Micha took this, some sort of magic here, that said on it, come out, Alei Shur, arise, O ox. But Yosef, and Micha cast this into the furnace with all the gold. Yetzah egel, do'eh. So an egel is a baby shur. So lo and behold, the shur comes out of the fire. Go'eh, skipping around. G'shehu mikart rea, and as it was dancing, yichu omrim, elech elch Yisrael, and that's when all the people said, elech elch Yisrael. And then all the angels said, Shachu Kehel Moshiam, Osegadol B'Mitzrayim, they've forgotten their God. Fascinating Midrash. We got a golden calf here, we got Micha here, that doesn't appear for another, you know, until the end of Sefer Shoftim, right?
Micha's sort of like Rip Van Winkle, it keeps like appearing over time.
Yes, that's always true of Midrashim, right? Remember, we're saying Micha is the same as also the father of Navat, right? And I would take, in a sense, I would not take these as the same, necessarily the same person. But these are the themes. These are the characters that keep reoccurring. The same Micha is going to end up building the Pesel in the end of Sefer Shoftim. That's the sort of person who goes in and says, Alei Shur, oh, symbol of Yosef, come out, and we're going to worship you. Sort of. Figure that out. But I want to look at this. Micha Shei Mit Mach Mech Bebinyan, right? That's what the Gemara said. He was called Micha because he was crushed in the building. So Sfaria's translation takes it as that the crushed in the building was part of the magic part. This is Sfaria's translation of this Midrash Tanchuma. Some say Micha ground the bricks that Moses had saved into the mixture. That's what he put in there. The bricks from Egypt had been saved. But Rashi gives a very strange interpretation of that. And I don't know where he gets it from. He just quotes in a gutter. Mamech b'binyan. And people probably heard this before. That Micha, who was the one who determined the shape of the form of the golden calf, who's going to end up building a pestle, is going to be the father of Yoram ben Nevat, along with Sheva ben Bichri. He was crushed by Binyan Shel Mitzrayim, in the building in Egypt, in the slavery. That they were, you know, we've heard the Agada that the children were thrown in, that were killed in the building. They didn't have bricks. They were crushed under the pyramids that they were building. In the first Bagada, as the Agada says, Sh'amr la Moshe l'kash baruch hu. Moshe tells Hashem, and Moshe complains, "Why are you making this so bad? Atah rotu l'amazeh. You made things worse for these people. Sh'achshav im ein lahem levenim. If they don't have bricks." They're putting their children into the foundations of the buildings. We never heard this medrash before. No, that was part of the torture of Mitzrayim, that the children were dying. So Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is part of the Agada. Hashem says to him, "Kotzim hem machlin," they're destroying the kotzim, the thorns. So Gali lefanai. Because it was revealed to me, Ilham Chaim, if these babies survive, Hayur Sha'im, they would become terrible people. If Tirzak, so Hashem tells Moshe, if you want, Tinaseh, you can test this. Potsia Chamehem, take one out. Halach Potsia Micha. So he saved one baby. This was Micha. Okay? This makes no sense at all, right? Hashem's saying, no, all these babies deserve to die. Don't save them. And Moshe said, no, I'm going to do it. And he does, and lo and behold, it's Micha, and look at all the terrible things that happened.
So we have some midrash that there were Jewish babies under the pyramids.
This one right here. Yeah, this is the Rashi, and
like today, like, do we think about that? That in under the pyramids there were Jewish
bodies.
Skeletons, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone looked for that. I don't know how I'm going to take this literally, as opposed to they died in the oppression.
Yeah, but you know, when they were building the wall of Great Wall of China, we're all slaves to the emperor, and they talked about how there was a certain amount of work that had to be done, and people would fall, and they would just keep working and bury them in the wall.
Right.
Oh, very good analogy.
Right. I think that's exactly, yeah. I mean, that's part of the scenes in Ten Commandments. You know, as they're working, they fall underneath, they just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the Agadic, that's the Midrashic interpretation. Rashi brings another one. Lashon Acher. Yitmach mech, he was crushed, meaning Asak bebinyan ad shenasa mach. He worked in building until he went bankrupt. Much more pshat kind of explanation. Mamech b'binyan means they were talking about the Pesel Micha. He built his own personal temple and he was so dedicated to it, he used all his money. I'm reading as I say, call Osek b'binyan mit mas ken. Anyone who tries to get anything built becomes poor. For those of us who own houses know exactly what that means. Okay, this is the origin of the term money pit. That Pesel Micha was a money pit for Micha. That's what Mitmamech. So we have two different readings of this term Gemara. Okay, so Micha would dedicate all his money to establish a temple to an idol. Is somehow tied to the Egel. He's the one who, right? He would have died in Egypt, but Moshe saves him, and he's the one who brings up the image of Yosef, and it turns into the, and that's the golden calf.
Danny, I just want to say something about Pesel Micha. Wasn't there some kind of inn located at that place?
Yes, that's very good.
That brought people to the place?
Yes. Now, I got a lot of ways to go, but that is exactly where we're going. Thank you.
We're going to look at Pesel Micha. I'm saying for a while it was like a going concern. Like people came and it was very popular and they donated and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, everybody loved Pesel Micha. That's exactly right. Which kind of tells why Yerubim wants to reestablish his temple over there. But let's look at that, because that's important. That's incredibly important. Gemara says that too, so it's not just me making that up. But Baruch Shekevant, as they're supposed, you're supposed to say that, you know that?
What?
Baruch Shekevanti. As in, you know, when you say something smart and you find somebody else who's really smarter than you actually said it before you, then you say, but you know, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the wisdom to have said the right thing.
Baruch
Shekevanti, right? It's like when you have a brilliant idea and you look in Rashi and that's what he says, and you say, okay, but then you get kind of two feelings. One is, I guess it wasn't that original, but also obviously I got some support, so maybe I really am smart. So anyway, so I appreciate the jest. You're gonna hold that thought about the inn and that everybody loved Pesel Micha. So here's the story of Pesel Micha. There's a person from Ephraim, his name is Michayahu. And the Malbim points out that the Micha here, we stick Hashem's name on there, he's a good guy. This is positive. Yomer le'imo, and we're going to end up in the middle of the story. And he tells his mother, "Elef mi'ah kesef asher lukachlach, that 1,100 shekel that were stolen from you, but alit, and you were cursing, begama mart, and you kept telling Bazni, you kept telling me over and over about this." So Micha here has a grown son, so he's like middle age. So his mother's a little old lady. Happy mother. Happy Mother's Day. You know, and he goes to her, you know that 1,100 shekels that were stolen from you, that you kept complaining and you kept cursing about? It was me. I stole it from you. Sorry about that, Mom. I have no idea whether this ever would happen in real life, that your children would ever take money from you, B, they would ever admit to it afterwards.
Wait, maybe it means, here it is, I took it from the robber.
No. I'm pretty sure that's not the way I read it. I mean, we don't have any. We just have one pasuk here. You can be down the kafsakut if you want, but ani lekachtiv, I certainly wouldn't read it as anything other than I'm giving it to you.
Okay.
But tomer imo. Okay, but that's not critical to this story. But tomer imo baruch b'ni Hashem, and the mother says baruch Hashem, my wonderful son. So yes, he may be wonderful. You may, as a Jewish mother, be down the kafsakut for Micha and. He's wonderful. Clearly, his mother is thinking that. Baruch Hashem, you've given the money to me. Good. Vayashev et elef u'me'ah kesef lima. And he returned the 1,100 in silver to his mother. Batomer imo. And his mother says, Hakdesh hikdashti et hakesef l'Hashem. I promised, when I had lost it, I promised that I was going to be makdish, I was dedicated this money to God. If I get it back, I would donate it all to what? I would give it to my son. I'm gonna build an idol to God. Hashem, right? I'm very firm. Baruch Hashem, this first words out of my mouth. I'm gonna build an idol to God. That's my makdish. Now my son, I'm gonna give this money to you, all this actual silver and the money. You're gonna build this for my pesel. So he gives the money to his mother. So she takes 200 of the silver and gives it to a silversmith. They build a pesel idol. Michayahu has this idol in his house. And so Micha uses all of, again, this idea that Maskan Bevinyan. He builds a temple over there around this idol. He dedicates it. He puts out neon signs. Vayas ephod trafim. He makes an ephod for his kohanim. He makes trafim, other statues. Vayimleit yad echad mibanav. And he appoints one of his own sons. Vayilo kohen. He's the kohen in his Beit Elohim with this pesel in there. Vayimimahim en melech b'Israel. At this point in time, there's no king in Israel. Isha yashab benav v'aseh. Everyone did whatever they felt was right.
Which wasn't a compliment.
That was not. But this is what he, right, I did again. This is a really from woman here who's really doing what she thinks is right. And Micha is really doing what she thinks is right. Obviously, I'm gonna dedicate myself to God by building an idol. And then the story continues. The next parak by me Mahem in Melch Israel, this is not king, by me Mahem Shevet Hadanim of Akeshlo Nachla and all the people have done. We're looking for inheritance. They had inherited the land on the seashore around modern Tel Aviv, and the Canaanim all there have chariots and they can't conquer it, so they're going to go find some other, they want to find some other territory, and they go far north. Laish, and they find a city of Laish that's in the modern, basically, Banyas, the source of the Jordan. Amshaket, Ubetach, people that were quiet, at living at peace, Vekuotam with Bicharev, and they take it. They slaughter everybody there, but at Yersef Uba'esh, they burn the city down. That's not a good thing, but they conquer the city in the north, they Matzil, and what they do, and in the story, as they're going, they find Pesel Micha, and they take it with them to go north. And they establish this idol there in their new city. And Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe is actually Moshe's grandson, are the Kohanim for this idol that's moved from Ephraim, from Micha, all the way to the north. It's still called Pesel Micha, Ad Yom Gol Ta'aretz, and it was there until the exile of the land. And they established Pesel Micha there, Asher Asah, Kol Yimei Hayot Beit Elokim B'Shilo. As long as the Mishkan is standing in Shilo, that's the Galut Ha'aretz. Then we have Pesel Micha, the Beit Elohim that he sets up, is in Dan for 360 odd years. You have two Mishkans. You got Mishkan in Shiloh, and you've got the Mishkan, as Janet said, with the hotel, casino, amusement park in Dan. That's Pesel Micha.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay. But this is the point that I ended last time, and we have to end it here again, but this is Avodah Zarah, but it's not worship of foreign gods. It's foreign worship of God, right? These are idols of Hashem. Same thing with the Egel Azad, Elohech Yisrael. This is an image of God. This is how we're serving God. So I'm going to mention my niece Ayelet, who when she was in high school was very excited to learn that God had a wife. You remember saying this at Pesach one year?
I don't, but Ellie said he did when I mentioned it to him.
Okay, this is right. I mean, she's talking. I mean, right? She's going to a nice, sophisticated Jewish school, and that this talking about there are fragments at a place called the Kuntelet Arjud in the Sinai. I have no idea there, but it's got all sorts of pictures there. It includes references to the Yahweh of Samaria and his Asherah, right? And the point is that people clearly believe that God. This is Yud Kei Vav Kei, had a wife, an Asherah, had a form, that you had all these idols there. And my point is that if you ask a rabbi, what's Judaism? Right, it's going to tell you it's the will of God as expressed in the Torah. I ask a sociologist, what is Judaism? The answer is, it's the religious practices of Jews. Right? I ask Sylvia Barak Fishman, what is Judaism? She's going to ask me, what do I mean? Right? Because she'll get, both of those are true, right? And the same thing's true in ancient Israel, true. That we have this idea that Hashem wanted the people to serve him the way the Torah says. No images, nothing else. But the actual religion of the people, their Avodah Hashem, was polytheistic. Well, maybe not polytheistic, but at least monolatrous. Now, there's maybe lots of gods, but our God is this one, and idolatrous, right? But people actually did. And that's why the whole Nevi'im is full of them. The Nevi'im saying, you know, you worship, you had shrines, tachat kol, al kol har gavoh, tachat kol etz ra'anan, because they really did have shrines on every hilltop and under every leafy tree. And that's the, Rashi makes that point. In Hazino, when he's making the prediction that Israel are going to worship Avodah Zarah. Chadashim mikarabo. But these new gods came. I feel omut shalom are you revealing by him. That these were gods, these were images that no other nations had. Goyish haya ose otam, a nation, goyish haya roe otam, a non-Jew would see these images, haya omer zet selim yehudi, this is a Jewish idol. Right, and you find that, archaeology, you find that all the time. So that's, you know, so this Pesel Micha represented really was the way that people wanted to serve Hashem. which is very strange. But it's real. And so that
I'm sorry, I need to leave. This is great stuff.
It is fascinating. So we still have to figure out the golden calf site. We understand why he's building these, because that's the way the people served. And it was there between the two Mishkanot in Shoftim, right, between Shiloh and in Dan. And the people saw them as being equally valid. No banner. Hello? And I'm going to say, it's just about 10 o'clock. Let's stop here and we'll go on next time to look at where the golden calf came from. Why a calf? And what we're going to do with that. Okay.
This is really interesting, Danny. Thank you.
This is fascinating. It gets more fascinating as we go on. This is like, you know, I've got 5,000 words here. I love that. Okay. So next week is going to be Shavuot. So not next week. We're going to send the week after that.
Thank you. Sorry, everything kept getting weird on my computer. So I was in and out, but thank you.
I'll have to see when we go there. Not sure about next week after that. I'll have to figure out what I'm working on Sundays and we'll have to get through this here. Okay.
Have a good week.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
Sorry, Danny, next week is Sunday. Erev Shavuos.
But you're saying
I'm not going to do a class.
Maybe we should do it to Erev Shavuos. Oh.
I can do it. We're going to have, I think Charlie and Susan, well, they're either going to be here or coming later that day. I'm not sure if they're coming for Shabbos or just for a Shavuos.
Oh, okay. That's nice. And Lior is going to Sivya, and we'll be
nice.
There.
Very nice. Good. How are you? So who is Chani? It was Meira who had a trip for
Lagba? Yes, it was there. They had the Lagba Omer weekend. Well, a couple of days today, starting today.
Where did they go? Yeah,
they went home. Yes,
well, I knew that. We talked to Chani last week. What?
It's not Lagba Omer, but this is their Lagba Omer trip. So I had to drop them off. At school.
Do they go somewhere like outdoors?
Yeah. It's good. Poor. This is a resort they've gone to in the past. It's really fun. They have like horseback riding and rafting and things like that.
Okay. So they're not camping though, because that's what I don't know what the weather's like there, but it's cold and rainy here.
Yeah. They have cabins. And it's cold and rainy here.
Okay. We're actually going camping. Is it next weekend? Weekend after Shavuos. The weekend after Shavuos. I'm a little worried about it because, I mean, it's supposed to be warmer. It was beautiful and now it got freezing. Yesterday we had massive hailstones. I mean, not what you guys get. You guys get really massive. But for us, it was like amazing. It was like 10 minutes of like our chairs outside got covered in what looked like snow, but it was ice balls that were making.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But they don't actually, I don't think they dented our car, right? You get real hail with like, right?
I've never had a bad hail damage. Yeah, you get a little dents.
Josh said when he was with his grandparents, when they went to the Dakotas, they like all the cars pull over and some their windshields break. Like it's serious hail.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right. I'm going to go. Got a lot of work to do. We're going to a baseball game if it doesn't rain.
Oh, cool.
Thank you. We have to watch the Red Sox beat the Orioles again.
Have they done that before?
We went to one game a few weeks ago and they killed them. So it was fun.
Go Sox.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Good to see you. Bye. Love everybody. Love to Sarah. And Meir. Let me see you. Bye.